Let's welcome Brother Green tonight. Amen. For he is Lord.
Could we sing God is moving by His Spirit?
Amen.
And ask Him to move in us.
Yes.
God is moving by His Spirit, moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders. Signs and sometimes you might have to wait on us because we're a little slow, but we want to do it anyway.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Greet you in the name of the Lord. What could He have done for you today to make you feel any better? I really appreciate Brother Robert Figueroa's prayer for us a while ago.
Amen.
I think it started off on a keynote that struck it right with me. How grateful we should be.
Amen.
And I know that it's got to where with Sister Green and I that we see each other in the morning, we comment about what a beautiful day it is.
Amen.
You know, another day to serve the Lord, another day to do that. But I have a confession to make to you people, and I know it'll be misunderstood, but I just got to say it anyway. From the way I feel in my soul and the way my heart feels right now and the experiences I'm having with the Lord, death and going to be with the Lord is nothing to dread.
Amen.
Nothing whatsoever.
That's true.
And I will be absolutely honest with you people, if it wasn't for you or my wife or my family or somebody I could do something for, I would have no objections to leaving tomorrow.
Amen.
It has become just that real to me.
Amen.
When Brother Branham went to the curtain of time and came back, he said, there is no way you can explain it. Folks, I have not been beyond the curtain of time, but these experiences I've had the last 2 weeks, the times I've had these visitations, I don't know why anybody would dread death.
That's right. Amen.
To go and be in that presence all the time. Brother Branham said, the scripture talks about heavenly places we can be in now, but we couldn't take it in these mortal bodies. They would have to be changed.
Amen. Right.
But there is a dimension there that is so wonderful. And you say, well, tell us about it, Brother Green. Brother Branham said, words, you don't have them to explain it.
Amen. Amen.
But I'd say like Paul, I would to God all of you could experience it.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Please do not fear death.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Please do not fear leaving this old world and going into the presence of God. There is a reality of a dimension that is peace beyond anything you can express.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You know, maybe when people get older and they've got aches and pains or heartaches and sorrows and dreads and things like that and sadness that comes along, you know, sometimes can you just imagine being free from that?
Amen. Right.
Totally delivered from it.
Amen.
I know that there's some people that they get very happy when they think about, oh, one day I'll strike it rich, I'll win the lottery, I'll do something, and there's just that joy. Why? Just to be delivered from some of the petty problems of debt, or maybe poverty or needs they have, or or get to satisfy their ambitions, their desires, their wants. I want you to know, folks, the dimension I'm talking about is so much farther beyond that one.
Amen.
That we don't have anything to compare it with.
That's right.
How many people understand? You're trying to understand what Brother Green's saying tonight.
Amen.
So I'm telling you now, it says even the angels of heaven rejoice when what? When one of God's children goes home.
Amen.
Why not? This whole world will never hold us.
Right.
Our kingdom is not of this earth.
Amen.
The life we've lived is not to have a long life here, but to have eternal life to be with Him where He is.
Amen.
He was here and He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
And folks, eyes not seen, ears not heard what He's done for us.
Amen.
It only took Him 6 days to do this one. What do you think you've been able to accomplish in a couple of thousand years?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Think about it. Come on.
Praise the Lord with it.
Amen.
I'm going to do in tonight and Sunday, the Lord willing, and the best and only way I know how to try to explain to you some of the things that have been occurring. I'll say this, that, you know, it takes courage sometimes to, whether people know it or not, to pastor a church.
Yes, sir.
I was talking to Brother Steve Buckles about this today when he came out to the house for a few minutes. And, you know, it's like Brother Branham, we hear him talk about the angels. I mean, not the angels, but the animals, like the caribou and the bear and the things like that happened. And people wonder, well, why was that? But Brother Branham explained to me that was just God's grace and mercy to him. Showing him that, look, if I can know the secrets of what's going to happen to those animals, then look at the courage Brother Branham had to say when he'd stand before 1,000 people and say, sir, your name is so-and-so and you did so-and-so.
Right. Amen.
He said, that was just God's grace to me, showing me that, hey, His mercy, look, trust me.
Right.
Trust me with this. And we hear the talk about committing our lives to the Lord and Him helping us and being with us all the time. And I believe God knows what we need.
Yes.
He knows what we have need of. And first of all, if there's a problem, you know this for certain, if you're one of those called by His name, chosen by Him. Satan can't do a thing against you until he first of all gets permission from Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you trust the Lord?
Amen.
To say, yeah, He can take that.
Yeah.
Try Him. He's my servant. He's my son.
Yeah.
He trusts me. And yeah, I'll let you test Him that way. I'm not talking about just physical things. I'm talking about any trial you're going through in life.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
God says, they're my child. You know how proud you are as a parent whenever one of your kids do something that you know that nobody else does, and they're successful, and they not in the success word, I mean, but they succeed in overcoming the trials of life.
Right.
They said no to dope,
right.
To drugs, to drink, to substance.
Yeah.
They chose not to live the lifestyle that the teenagers want to live. You should rejoice in that. But when God looks at us and He says, that's my children.
Amen.
They can live in this deceptive world and all of His perversion and everything else, and they still believe me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God's good to us.
Yes,
amen. What a mighty God we serve with it all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sunday night, I mentioned, started to tell you about that, you know, sometimes it takes courage to pastor a church, and whether you know it or not, Tucson Tabernacle, we have a reputation that a lot of people, they come through here and they want to preach, and they feel like if they preach at Tucson Tabernacle, then it gives them some prestige or something somewhere else, because almost every one of them want, oh, can I have a copy of that? Can I have a DVD? Ask Sandra in the office back there. That we always ask, can I have this? Well, why? Do they want to hear themselves preach? Or do they want to show other people, look, I preached in Tucson Tabernacle. Well, I take that compliment. I'm not being critical of anybody like that. But if I didn't have the courage sometime to stand and say, I'm going to preach today. You know what? I'd never preach to you people. You know, there's only so much space up here.
Yeah.
And there's only about 4 or 5 hours a week that somebody stands here and preaches. And there is somebody here almost constantly with a message from God. So they say. And they want to stand here. And even when I feel it, they won't tell me I said it or did it wrong. And I want you to know, folks, it takes a little bit of get up and go to stand up there and say, no, I'm going to do it today.
Amen.
It's not that, you know, now, but leaving all that aside, Sunday night, I chose to have a tape.
Amen. Yeah, that was good, too.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And anybody who was here and had their heart right will have to admit that was of God.
Amen.
It was.
Amen.
It was God's will for us to hear that tape. I have no objection to how many times you've heard how the angel appeared to me.
Yeah.
But you think of the miracle of it. That tape was made in 1955. You just play a little bit of it. Listen how clear and distinct and direct to the point. No repetition.
No.
Amen.
No going back, no repeat, just straight to the point, laying it out, chronological order. So much so that our friend from the Gideons that was here, that he said, I've never heard anything like that in my life.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know he was going to be here.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
But he himself wondered, why do I keep coming back to Tucson Tabernacle? Mm-hmm. He says, because I hear things here I don't hear anywhere else.
Amen. Oh, that's right.
Caleb mentioned tonight, well, there's other churches you could go to hear it, but folks, I want you to know, it makes a pastor feel good when you feel that you've done something and you knew that other people opposed it, but then it turns out you're right. Now, that doesn't mean that I've made the right decision every time, but give me this moment, will you? Because I believe with all my heart, we did the right thing Sunday night.
Amen.
When we heard it, and if you haven't heard that tape lately, we got it in a little book like this. It's a wonderful one to pass out. I understand we've got it on single CDs, and then we've got it printed in the books from Edmonton, and then Spoken Word printed years ago. But then I could take the time to tell you how it came about that that we played that tape, but just the way the printed books came to my attention that last week, that's what clinched it with me that, hey, sure, there's something to this. Amen. I should do this. But I've been dealt with about something else too. And that's the sermon that Brother Tommy Osborne preached at Brother Brown's memorial service in January of 66 in Phoenix, and called A Tribute to William Marion Branham. And we've got it printed in this little booklet like this that we've passed them around by the tens of thousands all over the world, and wherever Brother Osborne's ministry is accepted in Africa and India and all, it's been a tremendous too. And if you have never read this little book, or you've never read this sermon at all, or heard it, let me recommend it to you, because I think it'll give you some balance.
Yes.
Brother Osborne tells how it affected him when he heard Brother Branham and what he did, and it's two that you can give to other people, because you can't say that Brother Osborne is a follower of Brother Branham's message. But I will say this, the week of Brother Branham's accident, Brother Osborne called me every day in the hospital in Amarillo, and he made this comment to me. He said, Perry, he says, if God takes his prophet, what's left for the rest of us?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can say what you want to anything else with it, But then to come along, and I just tonight, I want you to know that there's something greater than this dimension we sit in.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I think I'm being able to experience and participate some of it. So much so that last night about 11 o'clock, it happened. I went in the house and I told Janice, I said, Janice, I wish there was some way, darn, that you could experience what I just experienced. Of course, I believe God does that, but now I need to tell you people something, to be honest with you. I went through one of the hardest times yesterday. Something happened that upset me genuinely in my mortal flesh. So much so that I'd have to confess that I think I was angry. It just was so disappointing for some people to act the way they do or think the way they do it. You wonder, what have you accomplished in your life if you can't even have a better influence of that? And of course, humanity to me reacted to it, and I felt so bad that the scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And so I told Janice, I said, Janice, I'm going to be in the office tonight. I don't know when I'll come in, but I can't come in until I know that my relationship with the Lord and that my attitude is right. And I went out there, and I think in desperation and telling God, God, look, I don't want to be like this.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Lord, forgive me.
Amen.
Help me overcome my weaknesses. Whatever it is, impatience or disappointment, whatever, don't let that affect my relationship with you. And I want you to know, He is faithful.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord.
Yes. It was just like something said, I forgive you.
My.
You know, you didn't even do that.
Amen.
Forget it. Amen. I said, but Lord, I know I misbehaved in myself.
Yeah.
You didn't even do it.
My
yes. Blood took care of that.
What a bargain.
Ooh, you believe, yeah. You believe in me? Then I don't remember it. What was that you said you did?
Yes.
And you know, to know you've been forgiven.
Amen.
When you know you deserve to be beat half
sure.
To death.
Yeah.
And not have His presence at all.
Yeah.
And then to know that you know that you know that it's under the blood.
Amen. Yes.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I just suddenly realized I'm a bad guy, but He's not going to hold it against me. But it was a very precious thing. And I thank God for His mercy,
amen.
For His
amen.
Grace,
amen.
For His goodness,
amen.
For His understanding, for His compassion. You see, these are words you've heard before. But what can I say? What words can I use? I don't have any other words. I can only tell you this. I'm not afraid to die.
Amen.
I mean, if I had a choice, as I said, if it wasn't for what service I could do or what good I could do to other people, I'm ready to go now. Because I've had a taste of that. Now, in me talking about these experiences I've had with angels, I guess this started 3 or 4 years ago. I've told you people when Brother Billy Paul said about him swatting little Paul on the diaper and Brother Brown saying, you made his angel angry. And all. It got me to thinking, you know, well, little Paul's not the only one got an angel. And then I got to studying what the scriptures said about angels and I read all the quotes that Brother Brown did, and there's over 1,000 pages of them, I think 1,067 pages of quotes that Brother Brown make on angels. And in there we found statements that Brother Brown said, the only reason is the angel's not around is because you don't believe in them.
Right.
Well, if the Bible talks about them, I believe them.
Yes, amen.
But I think a lot of people have got misconceptions about angels. They think an angel is like an artist painting, you know. They've usually got them a feminine thing. And they've got them with wings and halos. But I don't find any of those in my Bible.
Amen.
And we read you the quote Sunday morning that Brother Bram said, anything that I believe has got to come out of this book. And it's not just part of it, it's all of it. If you're going to believe something,
yes.
It's got to go from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and not one word or one verse against it.
Amen.
Well, I respect Brother Brown's message the same way.
Amen.
That if you're going to be a follower of Brother Brown's message and teachings, you're not going to be able to say, well, he said this, but then this is what he meant. Somewhere or another, it's all got to fit together.
Right.
Brother Branham called it dovetailing.
Right.
I don't know if you know what that means or not, but it's usually when there's anything that fits together, you know, like it spreads out and you join the two pieces together. Another place he compares it like a Chinese laundryman. He'll take a piece of paper and tear it and give you this piece and this piece, and he'll put this with your clothes, and then when you come back to get your clothes, it's got to fit.
Right.
Well, it's the same way with Brother Branham's message. When Brother Branham teaches something, you don't find something else over here that he says different. It's like Brother Branham gets up and he makes some pretty strong statements about speaking in tongues. Sounds like somebody pouring peas on a dry hide, piece of dry hide leather, you know, and brrrr. Well, it sounds like he's making fun of him. And Brother Branham talked about, I've seen witch doctors drink blood and out of a human skull and turn around and speak in tongues, and people come along and said, well, Brother Branham didn't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, you know, when I first came into the message, it was, hey, that had an effect on me because I'd been in Pentecost and with a full gospel businessman, and I asked Brother Branham, you don't believe in speaking in tongues? He said, I can't believe that, Brother Green. He said, I can't be against speaking in tongues because then I'd be anti-word.
Right.
Because Paul says, forbid not to speak with tongues.
Amen.
Well, then somewhere or another, we need to understand what Brother Branham's trying to tell us when he talks about them like peas on a dry cowhide or like witch doctors and do what drink. Because there is a real genuine.
Yes. Amen.
There is a truth to it.
Yes.
And if you don't do that, then you violate what Brother Branham, the advice he gave me, keep your balance in the scriptures.
Amen.
Well, it's the same thing with angels. And I will admit to you that I've learned some things from the scriptures and from this study that I don't say I didn't know them, but I'd never placed the importance on them. And the only way that I know to help you with that is to go to what Brother Branham said and go to the scriptures and let's see the incidents and the times where they did and see the characteristics of them. Because Brother Branham talks about the angel of the Lord being with him all the time, but he only describes him one time and he saw him like a man.
Yes.
Rest of the time he was a pillar of fire or a whirlwind or a presence. Let's look at a couple of quotes that's in the Seventh Seal book. Brother Branham refers to it on the night that he preached the Seventh Seal. It's tape number 63, 03, 24 evening. It's paragraph 560. Now, have you noticed the mysterious part of this week? That's what it is. That's what it's been. It's been not a human being, a man.
Amen.
It's been the angels of the Lord.
Amen. Right.
Now, I pointed out Sunday that he said plural, angels of the Lord.
Right. Amen.
So there wasn't just one angel in that room with Brother Branham. Like I've heard some people preach, there was an angel stood there with him and told him this, that. But you misunderstand what angels are. This is not Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
This is not the Lord. Angels are ministering spirits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You don't pray to angels.
No.
No.
Now, I know out of love and confidence to me, I've had people ask me, Brother Green, the next time you have a conversation with that angel, would you mention this or that? I'm not going to pray to no angel. There's one mediator between God and man.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
It's like when you come to me and say, Brother Green, will you pray for me? You know, I can pray and ask God to bless you all day long, but I can't really make intercession for you. It's you got to believe it.
Amen. Yes.
I can say, Lord, do something to increase their faith, but until you believe it,
yeah.
I can pray all day long.
Amen.
Now, what was the difference in Brother Branham praying for somebody and you or I praying for him?
Yeah.
There should be none except the confidence that the person had in Brother Branham.
Amen. True.
And Brother Branham was given those supernatural signs. See there? Now it's there. Now it's gone. Now you know it is. That's what he said. And not because they believed him, but because they believed God's word.
Yes.
Brother Branham even said himself about that thing with Sister Robertson's mother. What are you asking for a vision for? You got the promise.
Yes.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So we in all of this do not want to get to the place to where, well, now, Lord, send me an angel. Or you talk to an angel. That angel is sent to help you, not you to ask them.
Amen.
Now these experiences I've had, I haven't asked an angel to do anything. All I've done is ask a question. Just like, what'd the angel do when he came to Daniel? He didn't come and deliver Daniel. He came to give Daniel answers that he needed.
Yeah.
I'm set to give you this answer. When the angel came to Brother Branham at Green's Mill, or there in at the time we're talking about, he got his commission there when he came. Did Brother Branham ask that angel there, or did he ask that angel questions and the angel answered him and said, well, look at the scriptures. In Jesus' day, they did this. And Brother Branham said, but why don't my brother see this? And he said, well, look, this is the way it's supposed to be. And then the angel said, look, I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you that you were born for this sign and you will be doing this. But he never went and did it for Brother Branham.
That's right. Amen.
But Brother Branham standing there saying, I'm helpless without him.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what is this? There's the presence of God. There's an anointing. That wasn't a man. Brother Branham here said, that's what it's been. It's not a human being, a man. It's been the angels of the Lord. Notice, there's witnesses of three sitting here. And he talks about Brother Norman and them being over there with him. But let's go to the next one. The one that he explains more of this. It's it's in that same tape. It's paragraph 568. Now, this has been a tremendous week for me. I'm tired. My mind is tired because I have was the best that I could do and something strange going on every day. I would be amazed to walk in the room and be there for a few minutes and see something just turn me completely around. And here I'd go in there and I'd pick up the notes. I'd pick up the books of Dr. Smith, Uriah Smith, and I know he read Larkin and others that he talked about. And all the writers in there and read down in their books, I'd say, now here's the sixth seal. Here's what they say. And here's what this one says, the fourth seal. Now what does this man say? He'd say, well, it was this, that, or the other. I'd look over here and get another man. He'd say that it was such and such and such. And it looked like I just couldn't work it right. Brother Branham reading all the opinions that had been written by men,
right,
and other people had written, and that's what they believed. Then, does he say anything else, or is that the end of that? It didn't work right. But Brother Branham goes on to say that then something happened that turned him around.
Amen.
And I've made this statement that when you look at the seals, or even the church ages, and you see the things that Brother Branham did, almost everything that's in there, if you want to take the time to do it, and I've done it, and I know there's brothers written books about it, but almost everything, I can show you where somebody wrote about the serpent seed. How many years ago? Over a century ago.
Yeah, 1800.
About the Godhead and the other things that Brother Branham preaches in there. But here was what Brother Branham had. He had the presence of God, this angel, there that said, well, now this is right, and this is right, and this is right, and this fits with this, and this fits with this, and it dovetailed together. And he was able to take all that he read and put it together and come up and say, this is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you can't say that all of it was original to Brother Branham because he says he read the books.
Yes.
But what he had was, this is thus saith the Lord. because he had that presence with him. Now, this is what I began to see happening to myself. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, I started talking to you about 2012 and the Mayan calendars and all these things, and you can't deny that there's signs in the zodiac and there's signs in the pyramids and there's signs with the Hopis up here on this prophetic mountain. There's signs in Guatemala. There's signs in Egypt. There's signs in drawings in Italy. And in the day and age in which we live, because of technology and computers and the internet and the being able to interface it, that they're able to go back and get the manuscripts from the ancient scholars that had never been translated in English before. And for the first time in the history of the world, I shouldn't say that, because at the time when they had the Tower of Babel and they all spoke one language, that generation of people came to the place to where they could do almost anything of their imagination.
Amen.
So God did what? He confused their languages.
Yes, sir.
But now then, the peoples of the world are speaking a common language. What do they call it? DOS? Computers? Have I got the right word there? Is there a language called DOS in the computers?
Yes.
I'm not a guru. Come on, somebody. Kirk, what about it? Am I? Huh? Kirk?
Windows.
Oh, now they call it Windows. Is that what you say? And they speak this common language. And you know what? A man can sit here today and he has no way to go to Italy and see that art, or Guatemala over here. But just about anybody who knows anything about it today can pull it together and can see that for the first time. Not the first time, but more conveniently now than ever before. There's manuscripts that I saw them one time in the Rockefeller Museum. A room bigger than this one, climate controlled, just rolled and rolled and rolled of manuscripts and stones and writings that they've accumulated over there that the Rockefeller fortune put there. But nobody had ever read them. They didn't have enough scholars or students that studied those languages until the Gateses came along. And Bill Gates and his wife, Melinda, they have the Bill Gates Foundation that have given more money to charity than all the other philanthropists in the history of the world have given. Billions. And they've hired these students, and anybody who wants to study these ancient languages, they've gone to the universities and the professors and said, "Now, have you got a student?" And they're in there, "We'll give them a scholarship. We'll give them a stipend, and we'll help them learn." And it's the fruitation of their labor for the last 10 or 12 years is now coming to light. And all of that's available for anybody who's got the time to look it up and read about it. And maybe that's the reason the Lord let me learn to be a speed reader, because I read these and I glean them, and I'm beginning to find myself, well, I see this and I hear this and I see this, and Brother Branham said this, and look here, they're saying this too. And when I, like Daniel, begin to say, "Lord, does this have a meaning?" And I begin to trust the leadership of the Spirit of God in my life, I begin to see and understand things about this that I never did before.
Right.
And if that is true, then I had to go back and say, well, is it possible for me, somebody who, well, Lord, help me to be modest about it and stay humble about it, but I have had a unique life in this message.
Amen.
The things I've seen and heard and found, and I don't think anybody can ever say, "I've tried to take that and make myself the leader or the important one."
That's true, brother.
But I will, if I wanted to, I could have established a good size empire, sure, and told everybody he had to listen to me, but I've never told him that.
That's Amen. Right.
That's
Amen.
Never been my attitude.
Amen.
I believe God speaks to all the brothers.
Yes.
But I really don't believe that one can be used of God until he can rejoice that God's using somebody else.
Amen.
But I found these last few weeks and months of my life that it's been a joy as I read this, and I read hundreds of pages, and maybe there's only four or five things out of it, but it quickens to me, and then I find this over here fits, and I'm going to tell you, folks, it's getting to the place to where it's just a joy to sit and read. Because I see it coming to pass and coming together. And I don't mind telling you, but is it going to be that these things are going to become known to us as the bride? That we'll see things that, just like this experience with me. I'm telling you now, folks, don't be afraid of death.
Amen.
So, somewhere or another, get your relationship with the Lord right to where you would want to go and be in His presence.
Amen. True.
And the only thing that separates you from it right now is this carnal life you're living.
Yes.
But you can't die. You can stop breathing in that flesh. But you've passed from death to life.
Amen. Yes.
Now, don't you expect a person to understand that in a carnal way. But Brother Branham says it so many times. He's passed from death to life. When he desperately was calling out, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you saved me. I believe I've passed from death to life.
Amen.
Brother Branham wasn't afraid of dying.
Right.
Amen.
We're the ones that didn't want him to die. Because we were carnally hanging on to him. But when God had accomplished what he wanted to with Brother Branham,
right.
Why should we want a man to stay here in his carnal flesh?
Right. Amen.
Isn't that the truth?
Look at John the Baptist. You couldn't think of a more horrible death than he died.
Right.
But yet, one had never been born of woman any greater.
Yes. Amen.
And let me say again, you don't worship an angel. You don't pray to an angel. An angel is a ministering spirit.
Yes.
Do you realize how many times the scripture says, I'll send my angel before you?
Amen.
Now, you take the Mormon church. It's founded upon a doctrine that Joseph Smith feels like he had a vision in a wooded area, and he saw the Trinity. And when you see the pictures that they show in their magazines, their books, they have them in sculptures and displays in Salt Lake City, you can look at that, and if you know the Bible, you know that's false.
Yes, man. True.
When Brother Branham makes the statement that there's no female angels you don't hear mentioned in the Bible. And reading all these quotes, I discovered this, and I might as well say it to you, but there's times when Brother Branham was in meetings and he'd say, now that angel of the Lord standing right here.
Amen.
And there would be people coming in, oh, Brother Branham, I saw her. And when they had asked, she had long hair and she had wings, and well, I'm sorry, but that wasn't the angel.
Right.
Now, why did people say that? You'll find out that, oh, you saw the angel of the Lord. Who pray for me, do this. And it made them important. It made people look to them for leadership. I've said this for at least 40 years of my life. Anytime that you're used of God in a spiritual way, be it tongues, interpretation, prophecy, divine healing, praying for somebody else, it does not make you proud.
Right.
If your flesh in any way feels puffed up, it was not God.
Amen.
Amen.
I've heard people say, well, the Lord come and stood at the foot of my bed and talk to me like this. And well, I tell you what, anytime the Lord appeared at the foot of your bed, Let's look what happened when Brother Branham saw him in a sagebrush field. He just fell over and passed out till daylight.
That's what happened.
Yeah. True.
What happened when Daniel saw that? For 21 days he couldn't talk. But these people who see angels and the Lord and, hey, Skip the Maloo, and, hey, I saw, careful. Look at me. I had this experience. I want you to understand, keep your balance with it. That's only God's mercy to you.
Amen.
And don't follow a person because they say they've had an experience.
Right. Amen.
May the Lord give you confidence and may that person help you. But what you need to do is you need to pray, God, let me believe.
Yes.
And Lord, give me an experience that I can have confidence in. And then when you start trying to sell your experience to other people so they'll follow you, then what are you wanting? It all has got to point to the Lord Jesus.
Yes. Right.
Now, if you'll just take your Bible and get just a $1 concordance that you can buy at the store and just look up the word angel or angels and then just start running the references and read what happens when Brother Brown said everything starts in Genesis. Do you know the first place that angels are mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis, and here's every verse of scripture in the Bible, King James Version, that mentions angels, and I've read them all twice in the last 10 days. I read you Hebrews 1:1-14 Sunday morning, and what does it say at the end of it? That it was ministering spirits.
Right.
But to which of those did he ever say, sit on my right side, or your kingdom shall be forever?
Didn't do it.
It's not that. There's only one he said that to, and that's his only begotten son.
Amen.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But let's just take four or five of these. In Genesis, it does it. The first one is Genesis chapter 11. And verses 7, 9, 10, and 11. And you know what? An angel is with Hagar and Ishmael. One that we see because that angel protected them. Do we have that one on the list? Genesis chapter, no, 16, chapter 16, I'm sorry. Yeah. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness by the fountain on the way to Shur. Now, it's the next word is verse 9. 9, 10, 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord hath heard thy affliction.
Amen.
Now there was a personal angel ministering to Hagar. And we see that those prophecies. Now, you know, you can jump forward in the New Testament. And what was it that Zacharias met inside behind the Holiest of Holies? That talked to him about John the Baptist. What was that came to the Virgin Mary and told her?
Amen.
These angels were doing the same thing back here with Hagar. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18, verse. I better get this up close where I can read it. If I got 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at eve, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now these two look like two men. They came there to tell Lot what God was fixing to do because God was honoring Abraham's prayer. Let's look at verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. In other words, hurry up. God's fixing to do something.
Amen.
This was personally ministering to them, but didn't do anything supernatural for them. They had to worry about the sinful men that was out there even, but they looked like two men.
Yes.
Let's look at Genesis 21:17. Here we got Ishmael crying out to God, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." He was just telling her that God had heard her prayer. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. Now, this is where Abraham is fixing to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And I think there was somebody here a while back pointed out to us that anytime God really wants your attention, he calls it twice. And he said, "Here am I." But get the picture. What was it that had happened to Abraham and all these others? It was God bringing his will to pass, and he had these ministering spirits to help these people.
Amen.
And that's what they are. They're not gods. They're not our Lord. They're not our Savior. They are there as they ministered to Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. The same way they are sent here to help us.
Amen. Yes. Right.
Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house." Now this is Abraham talking. He was over there in the land of Ur, and God said, "Get out of here, leave this, go to a land away from your kindred. And which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee."
Yes.
"And thou shalt take a wife unto my son from this." Now this is Abraham telling Eliezer to go back, and you go back to the place where God did these things for me. And that God said, "I'll send my angel before thee." Now, does that mean an angel like appeared to Brother Branham? Or like some people want to paint him with a halo and wings and so forth, flew ahead of him. When Brother Brown stands and says, that angel of God, which stands right here, which you've seen his picture over there, who came down and had his picture made with me, that wasn't the Lord Jesus. How come I don't get an amen out of that?
Amen.
Do you people believe that that pillar of fire was Jesus? Well, now on the road to Damascus, that pillar of fire was Jesus.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Because it identified, it said, "I am Jesus."
Right. Yep.
And Paul called it Lord.
Yes, amen.
But what about the one on board the ship when he talked to the centurion? "This night, the angel of God stood by me." That wasn't Jesus.
Amen.
That was an angel ministering to Paul. And I think it's important that we know the difference.
Yes.
An angel or the angels are sent to minister to you.
Amen.
What about when he spoke to Moses in Exodus? I don't need to read these verses. You folks know what he says. Let me just tell you. He said, "You go, and I will send my angel before thee, and they shall follow thee." Who's he talking about? The cloud and the pillar of fire.
Right. Yes.
Is that not what happened? Now, with Peter in jail, which Brother Branham mentioned the other night, Brother Branham said, an angel like the one came to Peter. That was a man. He looked like a man. That wasn't a pillar of fire.
Right.
So there's different forms of them. But you'll find most of the times in the Bible, the times when the angels appear and minister to people, it's a presence that comes and goes before and prepares the way and follows behind to keep it safe.
Yes, amen.
Now, that's what we need.
Right.
Mine angel will go before thee.
Yes.
And prepare the way.
Yes.
Now, there's times when men are called angels, like the messengers. They're called angels.
Yes.
Prophets are that. But there is a difference. There's a language of angels. There's a language of men.
True.
And they're not the same.
Amen.
The angels don't sing the songs of redemption like you do. Because they've never been lost.
Right.
Except now there is a theological question about Lucifer being God's number one man. And pride coming in.
Right.
And he left that glory and went to the north and established kingdoms. Now I've been asked about that recently from two sources here and in Canada. And the only explanation I can give it of it is if you'll take the German Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, and the Empire of Russia, you'll find them mentioning Gomer and Moshe, and you'll find that that's some of the descendants of Noah, that they went there, and they're the countries that come down, and that's the ones that had the Holocaust, that's the ones that have been anti-Jewish. And that's the only explanation I give. But I can't say thus saith the Lord on that, but that's some of this that I see. And when Brother Brown, when the Bible talks about when they come down from the north, what is that? That's an invasion of coming. And Brother Brown taught that in 1951.
Amen.
Way before the seals, way before the church ages.
Yes.
Really, way before Malachi 4. That's something that he saw. And he taught it, and I believe it. But I want you to see the reality of it, that because God's done this in his scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and because he did it with Brother Branham, I want us to get to know that God has said he'll send his angels
yes.
to gather us
Amen.
In the end.
Amen.
We are the only generation of people that has the promise that these angels from heaven will come together, God's elect. So I think it's necessary that we believe it more than any other generation has ever believed.
Amen.
I'm looking for them to become more real to you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the reason they won't is, first of all, you don't believe in them. Second, because you don't live a life that they can stand to be around. And third, you wouldn't listen to them if they talked to you.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you to follow the leadership of God in your life and become a son of God and realize that your heavenly Father has given you something that he's given to people, but not everybody will listen to it. He's given you the Holy Ghost inside of you
yes.
to teach you, but he's given his angels charge over thee.
Amen. Yes.
You know, it's David that said that. He'll give his angels charge over thee. And you know what? I think that's an important doctrine. Do you know why? You know why I believe it is? Because it's one Satan tried to use on Jesus.
Sure. Amen. Right.
Throw yourself down. Did he not say he'd give his angels? Devil knows that's true.
Yeah.
Do you and I believe it's true? How many times have we heard of an automobile riding itself or somebody being protected in a situation? You know what did that? That was God's will.
Amen.
Yes. Somebody gave me an email or an internet thing that's saying that in President Reagan's book that was written by his son and his daughters, that President Reagan, back when he was making a movie with Shirley Temple one time, he took viral pneumonia. And he became so sick that he even testifies himself that he's laying there on the gurney and he wanted to die because it hurt so bad for him to breathe. And he felt someone take him by the hand and begin to instruct him. Now breathe in. Now let it out. Now breathe in. And he talked about how warm and how gentle and how loving this hand clasp was. And he thought it was a nurse. So much so that he told his family and all, but him, they wouldn't allow anybody around him. And when nobody in the family or no nurse had done this, then the Reagan family began to wonder, well, was there an angel? And then when he was, the attempted assassination, when Hinckley tried to shoot him, the same thing happened again. And this time, him being president, they wouldn't let anybody around him. And when he came out, he wondered, who were those kind nurses who helped me? And there was no one. And they, the Reagan family has now written this in a book and said they believe it was supernatural. So much so that they're testifying that they believe that angels intervened and kept him alive. Twice in his lifetime. Now this is the President of the United States you're talking about. This is not some Pentecostal fanatical preacher. I want to say that I believe in angels.
Amen. Yes.
And the more I've said this, the more I've studied about it, I want you to know the more real it has become to me in my life. And if I failed to portray that to you somehow or describe it to you with my feelings and my actions, then Sunday morning, I want to tell the incidences in my lifetime. When I can look back now and I know something supernatural occurred, that it was not me.
Amen.
But it has caused me to believe the way I believe now. And then Sunday night, the Lord willing, I would like to share with you some of these thoughts that I've had about these things that were somewhat mysterious to me. And how I see they fit together. And how much later it really is than what some of us even believe it is.
True. Amen.
I know that Caleb says it a lot because it meant a lot to him that he was really struck and inspired the Sunday morning that I read the quote where Brother Branham said, the people in Prescott, the people in, looking for the coming, looking, that spoke to us all that morning.
Yes, sir. Amen. Absolutely.
And there's no way we can repeat that and make that happen, but it is something we should never lose our enthusiasm.
Amen. Amen. True.
And not just saying, but folks, if you really believe it, you get ready for it.
Amen.
You get ready for that day. You'll begin to trust that leadership. Now, don't be afraid of making a mistake. Because I think God looks at an honest heart.
Yes.
And you're not going to deliberately go out and do something wrong. But you see, I've confessed to you before that there was a time, even as your pastor, I would say, that which I follow, that which I believe to be the Lord. Because I didn't have the courage to stand up and say, I feel led of the Lord. Why not give him the credit?
Amen. Yes.
Why not give him the glory for it?
Amen.
But what if you're wrong? Well, you see, what if he forgives us? I'd rather make a mistake on over-glorifying him than not giving him glory at all.
Amen.
I sure don't believe in little birds talking to you. I sure don't believe in little funny feelings going up your leg, or little creeps going up your back, or little goosebumps. Come on, folks, when are you going to start really believing in the presence of angels among us?
Amen.
Amen. Right. Yes, amen.
Let one sinner, one backslider come in, and that angel will be happy, and our angels will get happy. It creates a whole new atmosphere.
Yes, sir. Yes.
The angels of heaven rejoice. We sing, this is like heaven to me.
Yeah.
Do you really know what it is?
Come on.
Amen.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Help us all to draw close to him.
Amen.
And have faith and confidence in what God promised us.
Yes.
you have a need, then Lord, I believe. Increase my faith, Lord. Help me to believe.
Amen.
Have confidence in what God has given you. Do you believe you pass from death to life?
Yes, sir.
Then act like it.
Amen.
Don't be one to say, Lord, I think something good's fixed to happen, but it's been so long since it happened, I don't know whether it's going to occur or not. If I were to tell all of you there's great things ahead for us, would you believe me?
Sure.
Amen.
Then do it. In the name of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Did I tell you about the jobs possibly open? Brother Mike Alderson back there that works for the Stanley Corporation and prints passport of the United States government, he told me that he discovered a website. It's usajobs.gov. And there's 300 openings for federal jobs in this city. Everything from maintenance people to janitors to executives. And they're having trouble finding people to fill the jobs. So don't tell me you're unemployed and can't find a job. Just get somebody, look it up for you on a computer, usajobs.gov. Now he mentioned something about some of them pay $150,000 a year. I thought about applying.
Executive.
But I don't know when I'd have time to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think they would pay that much for a janitor. And that's probably about all I'd qualify for. But folks, I want you to know something. I believe it's of the Lord that Brother Mike will come in here and tell us about this. Because you don't know the number of times I have people tell me, Brother Green, I need a job. Pray for me to have a job. Well, all you got to do is go to the computer. USA Jobs. Now, I don't see on here where it says positions. Retirement. Bed of ease. I've always said that there's a cure for poverty. W-O-R-K.
Amen. True.
Work.
Yes.
And there's no way to get out of it because ever since Adam, we've had to earn it by the sweat of our brow.
Yes. Yeah.
I want somebody to have faith that you need a job or you know somebody that does. Go and try this. And you come back and testify to us what a blessing it was to you in your life. You young people, if they're having difficulty finding it, the help to do it, don't say you can't qualify. I venture to say that on some of these, they'll even train you. They'll pay for you to have an education to do it with.
Yeah.
And think of it, then you'll be working for me. We can tell you what to do. You got that? USAjobs.gov. Now, can you spell that? G-O-V? God bless you. Let me have a musician. Thank you, girls, boys, men. You believe in angels?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Let me just ask you this. How many have ever had an experience that you think that it was an encounter with an angel?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. You probably have had them when you were not aware of it. Because the scripture says you entertain them.
Amen.
And you're not aware.
Amen.
So you need to learn to be sensitive to this. Because you're the loser. They all come from Almighty God.
Yes.
Amen.
They were created by God to help us. And just as he sent them to get Lot and them out there and said, hurry up, I think that all of our angels now say, come on, folks. Come on. Come on, line up. Get in place. Look, I'm here. I'm here to help you. At least seek my advice.
Amen.
Don't pray to an angel. God don't let nobody answer his telephone. He don't have a secretary. But when you talk to him, he sends those angels.
Yes.
Amen.
To help you.
Amen.
Let's stand together and sing, I love him. You'd open our eyes that we can see. That truly, Lord, your truth and your love for us, that you have sent angels to minister to us. And as a prophet of God has said, they stand around these walls. They sit on these pews beside us. They are there to help us and encourage us. Open our eyes, O God, like you did the day to the prophet's helper. That he could see the chariots of fire standing around the ring of the mountain.
Yes.
And Lord, even that day on Calvary, you're going to call 10,000. When men in the Bible saw them, they saw thousands times thousands. So we're not alone, Lord. You are with us by your presence.
Yes.
But not only that, you have sent your angels to be with us.
Yes.
Let them go before us on our way home tonight. Let them be with us tomorrow. Let them minister to us in our hours of need. Let them rejoice with us when our loved ones are saved. They rejoice, Lord, when they see us being obedient to your word. May we provide an atmosphere, Lord, that they can be pleased to live in, because they've been saying holy, holy, holy to you from the day they were created. And they just cannot take it in our carnality, Lord. It does not make them rejoice. They know what's on the other side for us. Cleanse us from our sins. Forgive us of our iniquities. Things that we do that are wrong, that we know is wrong. But let us be quick to confess them and allow you to forgive us. And let the blood that you shed on Calvary cleanse us from all of our sins and wipe them from memories of all men. How great thou art for a plan of salvation. Lord, I couldn't have made it any other way. You knew, Lord, in your foreknowledge, how difficult it would be and how impossible it would be for us in our carnality to overcome ourselves. So you made a way of escape for us. So I say, blessed be your holy name.
Amen.
Lord, not just that, but you didn't even leave us alone to believe that. You sent these spirits, these ministering spirits, to help us along the way when we trip up ourselves. When our own will gets in the way, deliver us from ourselves. And as we draw close to you, let your angels continue to minister to us until the day star shines and we enter into a dimension. Then, Lord, we will know that, behold, all things are true. Lord, there are people here tonight who are hurting in their hearts, who need financial help, people whose bodies are suffering. You paid it all.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Help us to believe you tonight.
Yes.
I say, Lord, I believe you. I believe your word. I thank you for the evidence that you've allowed me to see and to hear through the words of your prophet and through others, Lord, that I have had the privilege to know that you are real.
Amen.
And your word is true.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me have these experiences that I've had with what I believe to be your angels. That, Lord, every time it's been an encouragement to me. Forgive me any time when I've been slowful about listening or following. Teach me to walk in that pathway that they point me. I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Sunday night at 5. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I bow down before you.